Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org. Shop L-O-G-I-A.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
Instead of fighting for them and protecting them, we're going to let them go forth and do these things for us. We can pretend that we're not being disgraced, but rather we're just giving equal opportunity for something that should never have happened.
The question that we need to fundamentally ask when we go to the Scriptures is, where is this forgiving my sins? Where are the promises of God? How does this text set me to stand before the face of God?
When we wonder how Christ keeps our bodies alive, he points us to food, he points us to water, he points us to air. Likewise, when it comes to salvation, he points us to his word, to his sacraments, and says, here I am with grace and life for you.
I like to think of the blind beggar as the first Lutheran. He recognizes that he has nothing to offer Jesus. All he can do is receive from Jesus.
Just a little taste of what's coming up here in about 20 minutes on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a little game we like to play on Friday afternoons when we can. Four soundbites that we play for you, and all you got to do is listen, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote there, facebook.com/issuesetc. And your votes determine which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and the best vote gets the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and the brand new Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad that begins in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, we want to hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line. We got some comments lined up. This is a line that we leave open for our listeners, whether they listen live or on demand. It's 618-223-8382. The Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. And as often as we can, we get to these comments and we respond. We begin with a question about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and something we were just discussing, the HHS contraception mandate.
My name is Elizabeth. I live in the town of Bath in West Virginia. I'm calling for two reasons. First of all, I'd like to thank you so much for all the wonderful lectures and Bible studies and talks that you have on Issues ETC that are done by the seminary professors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but especially for the professors from the Concordia University system. I attended a Concordia University back in the 70s when I had professors who taught me to distrust the Bible as the Word of God. And it is so encouraging to know that the young people of our churches are being taught God's Word faithfully at the Concordia schools now. Second, I also worked with President Barry when he was president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and had the opportunity to discuss with him problems even back then with the issue of abortion and the threat of requiring Concordia Health Plan to pay for abortions or abortifacients and contraception for unmarried women, and President Barry promising the church that he would go to prison before he would allow Concordia Health Plan to pay for abortions. I'd like to see a program with the head of Concordia Health Plan talking about the situation with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's health plan right now and how the Obama administration's policies are having an effect on that health care system that pays for health care for our pastors and teachers. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, and it's a great suggestion. Thank you very much. First of all, a couple of things. Concordia Health Plan is the self-insured system of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the second largest Lutheran church body in the U.S., the one of which I happen to be a member as a pastor. And they self-insure. They see to the health care needs of their membership, of their not only the employees but also their members. That would be congregations and then the employees of those congregations. Generally speaking, it's pretty universal throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In interest of full disclosure, because while I am called to a congregation, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I am not insured through Concordia Health Plans any longer. Lutheran Public Radio, we have a different health care provider. I think it's a good suggestion. She mentioned the late Dr. A.L. Barry. He was president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and already rather prescient in seeing that this was coming down the road. It's almost inevitable that any church body that wants to maintain the biblical view of life and its protection will find itself running up against the cultural force of gravity that says, well, you know, if this is a basic human right, abortion, or a basic human right, contraception, regardless of how it takes place, shouldn't it be paid for by someone else? That's kind of the American sense of privilege, isn't it? We think if we got a right, someone else ought to be paying for it. Well, we could talk about that for a long time. I think it's a good suggestion. I think every church body has to struggle. Every religious organization has to struggle. Every religiously affiliated institution has to struggle and say, what are we going to do? You know what we discovered about a year ago when the HHS mandate was suddenly foisted upon us? We discovered that we hadn't been proactive, that we hadn't been thinking far enough ahead to say, you know, it's not only just about holding to our convictions, it's also about planning for what we think is probably inevitable. So we've played a little catch-up, and we've had to resort to the courts. And who knows how that's going to turn out? Talking with Daniel Blomberg before the break, there's no way of knowing how it's really going to turn out. But look, I share the sentiments of the late Dr. Berry that we ought to be willing to suffer whatever we suffer in the face of an unjust, a wrongful, unconstitutional regulation when it's on the books. We ought to be willing to suffer rather than compromise our consciences. If the church can be made to compromise its conscience by anything, regulation, law, edict, mandate, whatever it may be, or as the church more often usually does, simply compromises its conscience and no one's telling it it has to. It just does it to go along with the culture. In any event, that is where the church not only loses its moral authority in society, but it also begins that slow loss of the soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and the whole world's approval, but loses his soul? So you're quite right. It's a great idea for a show. We'll see what we can do on that one.
I wanted to comment on the show today about law and gospel. About a year ago, I was given the Book of Concord from a Lutheran pastor. And when I read the formula, or the epitome for the formula of Concord first, is what he told me to read. What stuck out to me the most was the distinction between law and gospel. And it knocked me over. And I said, this is it. This is what's been lost, the distinction. Even though I had exercised myself in sanctification, and it never really gave me peace of conscience because I knew the law condemned me, but I didn't have this understanding of law and gospel. And now studying it, I find great consolation, and my conscience finally has rest because of what Christ has done and separated that law and gospel between two. And so I'm forever grateful now for this Lutheran pastor who gave me this Book of Concord, and I was a Presbyterian when he gave it to me. So I just want to make that comment, and I think that's such a major influence in my life. It'll change how I walk and how I joined the Lutheran Church. So anyway, have a good night. Bye.
And well, thank you very much for listening. He's making reference to a conversation I believe we had yesterday with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the distinction between law and gospel. It was hour two of the program yesterday. You can find it, issuesetc.org. Click listen, and you'll find that under yesterday's program. A couple thoughts come here in light of what he had to say. First of all, we Lutheran pastors and Lutheran congregations have really failed in this respect. We have underestimated and undersold our own confession. We've tended to think about the Book of Concord, which is that collection of these 16th century documents together, finally compiled in their completeness in 1580, long after Luther's death, by his successors in the Reformation. And bound together is the Book of Concord as the confession of the Lutheran Church, of Lutherans, wherever they may be, whenever they may live. We've tended to look at that as kind of a book that pastors study when they're in the seminary, and then, well, they don't even need to study it after that, right? I mean, they got better things to do. Or a book that only pastors study. See, we've underestimated that this is our confession. This isn't just an historical document of what some men believed long ago under certain circumstances. This is, and it presents itself as the church's confession, not just the Lutheran church's confession, but what ought to be the church's, the whole church's confession. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, maybe you should sit down and read it and see how it makes the case, what it has to say. And every Lutheran pastor has the obligation of saying, even after he has, and he has, promised to make this his confession in its entirety without reservation. Did you know that if you are a member of a confessional Lutheran church body, a congregation, that your pastor was required at his ordination to say, this is now my confession, and I confess it without reservation, without exception? That's what he was asked to do, and he may have done it verbally, but that means it must remain in his hands, and then he needs to put it into your hands. He also vowed that he would conform all of his teaching and all of his practice as your pastor to that confession. So it's far from something that he left behind on the shelf of a seminary dorm room. It ought to be his confession. And you mentioned the Formula of Concord. I think, oddly enough, that's the place to start for someone who's never read it before. It's a great advice that you got from that pastor to start at the end, where everything is kind of summarized, and then go back and start over again from the beginning. If you start from the beginning, it's kind of like watching a house built from the foundation. Or you can step back and see what the house looks like when it's finished, and that's the Formula of Concord. I've often said you really don't have full-blown Lutheranism, not only in its historical context, but in its context today, until you have the Formula of Concord. If you've never read this, go ask your pastor. Go say, can I see your Book of Concord? I pray it's not covered with dust. But even if it is, open it up, go to the end, read the Formula of Concord. You will be stunned at the clarity with which and the courage with which those reformers made their confession. And ask your pastor, hey, pastor, is this your confession? Now, when we come back, I'll say a few words about law and gospel, too. Stay tuned. If you call, I will answer. If you follow, I'll pick you up.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're listening to a few of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon, February the 8th. We had a commenter before the break who was talking about being exposed for the first time to the Lutheran Confessions by a Lutheran pastor and now is a Lutheran. And the value that he found in the distinction between law and gospel, we were discussing it earlier with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller yesterday on the program, this distinction between how God speaks in his word. He speaks two words in his word. The first word is law, that shows us our sin and shows us how far short of the perfect demands of the law we have indeed fallen. And then the gospel shows us the perfect obedience of Jesus to that law for us and all that he suffered under that law on account of our sin for us. So one shows us our sin, the other shows us our Savior. Now, far from being an academic distinction or a distinction for the professional theologian, law and gospel becomes the shape of the Christian life. We talked about this with Pastor Wolfmiller yesterday. It becomes the very shape of the Christian life. When the Word of God speaks, it speaks in law and gospel, and that means your life takes on that shape, a life of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, which is nothing other than what Luther said when he talks about baptism. He says it's a life of daily contrition and repentance and the new man daily coming forth in the forgiveness of sins. So it's far from an academic distinction. It really is the Christian's way of life.
This is Herman calling February 7th, commenting on the presentation by your guest, Chris Roseborough, February 6th, on the example of the new emergent church, mega church out in Washington, and the pastor there, and the aberrant doctrines being proposed that distort the true triune God of Scripture. We might note that it might be called the mega church of Baal, as if within that he's discovered that it was really the prophets of Baal who prevailed over Elijah on Mount Carmel and the divergent teachings there, apparently citing, well, the God of the Bible is the one true creator God, but there's these lesser gods down here, some good, some evil, maybe some in between. Sort of sounds like, in a way, a remaking in an American setting of Hinduism that has a similar hierarchy and assortment of gods of all kinds. So that the modern-day sinner, seeing certainly a confused world within and without them, goes into that church and hears a message that is not true to the Christ-centered scripture of salvation by Christ alone, through his grace alone, but through works that you can posit on whatever God you want, some comfort indeed. Thanks for Chris Roseborough's timely attention to this. Thank you very much.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have Chris on. Chris is one of those guys that keeps his eye on where these people are out there, sadly, constantly pushing the edge of the envelope. These teachers that feel like they got to top one another or top themselves. And it used to be the televangelists who came up with the kooky stuff, right? You remember the kooky televangelists with the funny hair. Now these guys, they don't have funny hair. They look very hip. They look very put together, and they're in the emergent church and the church growth movement, the seeker-sensitive movement, and yet they're still trying to top each other. Example that he gave there, that kind of polytheism now being taught by one of the teachers out there in Portland, Oregon. So go figure. Whenever we depart from God's word, what is it one of those smart guys from the past said? It's not that we won't believe anything. It's that we will believe anything.